I'm WTOP film critic Jason Fraley, and I'm sitting here with filmmaker and American University professor Claudia Myers. Claudia, just give us a brief backstory about not only how you came to teach at AU, but how you became a filmmaker and how you kind of juggle the two.
Well, I came to American University after working as a freelance filmmaker in D.C. for several years, and it just seemed like a natural fit for me. I mean, you know, the emphasis of the film program at AU is media that matters. I'm interested in telling stories that have social relevance, and so it was a kind of a perfect fit.
And how many classes do you teach there per week, or how often are you there?
I'm on the full-time faculty, and I teach primarily screenwriting and directing, and, you know, all levels of screenwriting from the introductory courses to a more advanced screenwriting.
And in the case of Fort Bliss, which is your feature film playing at the GIA Film Festival this weekend, how does that fall into your course load? Do you take a little time off? Do you go on sabbatical? How does that work?
I definitely took some time off to make Fort Bliss. I was on sabbatical. And although I had been working on the script for about 5 years prior while I was teaching courses, and I was also making a number of films for and about the military community, and a lot of that informed my research and directly informed the story and the script.
And go into a little of the premise. I mean, it's sort of like a Hurt Locker meets Kramer versus Kramer in a weird way, you know? Just explain to our listeners, lay out what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the story of a female Army medic and single mom, played by Michelle Monaghan, who comes back from an extended deployment in Afghanistan and finds that she has to win back the love of her 5-year-old boy who doesn't really recognize her as his mother anymore.
So where was this Fort Bliss shot?
We shot Fort Bliss in California in the Los Angeles area of Santa Clarita and in Fort Bliss, Texas, the actual Fort Bliss.
Okay. But I also understand you do have some D.C. ties with some past projects you worked on, correct?
I produced a film. I was one of the producers on Below the Beltway, which was a film that was based in D.C., shot in D.C. with tremendous support from the D.C. Film Office. And I also want to mention that the D.C. Film Office has been very supportive of Fort Bliss and helping us get the word out. And, as a D.C. filmmaker, I do feel a great deal of local support, which is great.
Gotcha. And you mentioned that you had been, over the last 5 years, while you were kind of sculpting the script, that you'd been working on several military-themed pieces. Was it with Will Interactive or were documentaries? Explain what that was.
I actually worked on 4 significant pieces. 2 were with the local production company, Will Interactive, and they were for the Army. One was an interactive training film about leadership. One was an interactive training film, which I wrote but did not direct, about combat stress and PTSD, and both of those were for Will Interactive. And then I did several films for the Department of Veterans Affairs, which were documentaries as part of their series, The Face Behind the File, and they were half-hour television documentaries, and one was about, one was called The Long Road Back, and it was about severely injured soldiers returning from Iraq and sort of how they chart a path to recovery. And another one was called Women at War, and it was about the evolution of women's roles in the military since World War II.
Those military pieces you did influenced the military half of this script. How about the mother half of the script? I know, actually, in fact, that there's a personal inspiration for that. Like, weren't you becoming a mother around the same time?
Yeah, it was actually the connection between setting the film in the military world and telling the story of a working mother. In some ways, Fort Bliss is the ultimate working mother story, was inspired by some of the tension that I felt making films and having a young child at the time. And when I was actually doing some research for the first training film that I did for the Army, I met an infantry soldier who was a single dad, had deployed a couple of times, and I had found out that he had left his son with his neighbors when he was on deployment. And that made a really big impact on me. And I remember thinking it was a side of the war I'd never really thought about and didn't know much about. And I became especially interested in stories of soldiers that are also parents and how they juggle the demands of 2 completely different worlds.
Now, this is your second feature that you've directed. Explain your first one, Kettle of Fish, which was more of a romantic comedy, and how you transitioned from that to Fort Bliss. Is Fort Bliss more in the line of what you might be doing forward, or you kind of think, hey, I can direct any genre?
I think Fort Bliss was really informed by the work I did since I arrived in Washington, and I think work that has a little bit more of a sense of purpose and social relevance is more interesting to me right now. I could never have directed or written Fort Bliss without the experiences that I had working, you know, with the military community. And I wouldn't rule out any genre going forward. In fact, I'm, you know, working in a completely different genre again on my next project. But certainly, I think what's important is to know why you're telling the stories that you're telling and to feel a strong personal connection and a sense that this is a story that deserves to be told. And I felt that very strongly about Fort Bliss. And I think it's what sustained me through the process.
Okay. Let's go a little into the casting process. You mentioned Michelle. There's also Ron Livingston. People remember him from Office Space. John Savage, from which has a little Deer Hunter connection, which I thought was a cool tie-in with movie history. And then also casting the kid, just to go into the casting process.
The casting of the film, I think, is just phenomenal. And I'm so grateful that we got the actors that we got. And it's a really, I think, rich and varied cast. You know, you mentioned, obviously, Michelle Monaghan and Ron Livingston, Manolo Cardona. The Colombian actor is terrific in the film, Emmanuel Shrieky, Benga Kanabi, Pablo Schreiber's in the film, Freddie Rodriguez is in the film. So we have, I think, a real range, and we just were extremely lucky people responded to the script. I think the big challenge was casting a child who had many difficult scenes. You know, we're looking to cast someone who could play a 5-year-old boy, so you know, a young actor who can, you know, display a big range of emotion was challenging. And actually, Oakes Fegley, who plays that part, was one of the first actors we saw for that role. But I did cast in New York, in L.A., and also at Fort Bliss in Texas, thinking that maybe a non-actor would be the way to go. But, you know, Oakes was clearly the right choice.
A lot of filmmakers, they're either screenwriters or they're directors. You're a writer-director, which is... I feel like it's rare on the larger level, but a lot of people, you know, on the indie circuit get going that way. What was it like to take your take the hats off, to switch from screenwriter to director? Was there a certain directorial style you were going for when you were shooting it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to take the writer's hat off at a certain point and really start looking at the process through the lens of a director. So I was actually pretty disciplined about that. There was a point where I did stop writing and really approached it as a director. How did I want it to look? What, you know, I had a great partnership with my creative producer and cinematographer, Adam Silver. And so we were working on the project together for years. He really, you know, helped me, you know, refine the story and had a lot of input all along the way. So he knew the characters in the story intimately. And we developed a visual style, which I think translated exactly to the vision we both had in our heads.
And then after all of that is over, you have to take the hat off once more once you get into post. What was the post-production process like?
The post-production process was incredibly gratifying and challenging. We were fortunate at the time. We were working with another producing partner, John Sullivan, who had tremendous input. We had two excellent editors, Matt Chesse and Karsten Kerpanik. And it was very collaborative, and it was a very gratifying process, you know, but it took several months. We were sometimes at the mercy of, you know, different people's schedules, and but I think it was a very productive and good process.
Okay, and now, which kind of brings us to nowadays, you're hitting the festival circuit now. Explain, where all has it played? I mean, I know in Newport Beach, and then also now with the GI Film Festival.
Yeah, we're actually just beginning to get the film out there, which is this really exciting time right now for us after all these years of work. So it did premiere on the West Coast, had its festival premiere at the Newport Beach Film Festival. And now we are looking at screening at the GI Film Festival this Sunday, actually. And it's going to be the centerpiece of their tribute to women in the military. And we have another festival coming up in Paris in June. So it's nice to finally put the film in front of an audience and see how people respond. And so far, the response has been excellent.
And speaking of putting it in front of an audience, you just picked up distribution, right? It's Phase 4 is the company, and I think it's North American distribution. Now, I believe they're a Canadian distributor. Is that right?
Phase Four is based in Canada, yes. And they will. They just acquired the North American rights, as you said. We're looking at a release in the fall, and we could not be more excited. It's really thrilling to know that this film is going to be able to reach audiences, and that's exactly what we want, and hopefully spark discussion around the topics that it raises.
And so so our listeners who might not know how this works, how will this, when we say it's going to be released in the fall, will they be able to see it in the fall? Or should they come out to the GI Film Festival, right, this weekend?
Well, I think the GI Film Festival is a special event. It's Michelle Monaghan will be there. I will be there along with my producing partners, Adam Silver and John Sullivan. Oakes Fegley, who plays the little boy in the film, will be there. So it's going to be... in terms of meeting the production team and some of the cast of the film, I think it's going to be, you know, a special event. There's going to be a reception after the film. So it's more of an event in terms of viewers or listeners being able to come and see the film at a later time in the fall. We're just beginning to make our plans for the release. So it's hard to talk about, but there will certainly be ways to see the movie.
And this weekend screening is Sunday at what time?
The screening is Sunday at 6:30 p.m. in Alexandria at the Old Town Theater. And we would welcome anyone who wants to come.
All right. Thank you, Claudia. That's Claudia Myers, American University professor and writer, director, producer, wearer of all hats on WTOP Radio.